You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Bill Barnwell is joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, like he does every Saturday at 1 o'clock. It is appointment radio. Bill, hi, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, Anita, what's up?
You're up. That's what's up. As we get closer to Tuesday, I was telling our listeners, not only is it Election Tuesday, but it is also free agency, not free agency. It's also the trade deadline for the NFL. And so there are a number of players whose names are out there that's circulating. So I want to tee a few up for you. Mm-hmm. And kind of get a feel. And let's start with some players here. Obviously, we're here in New York. Let's start with some players on the Giants. And two names in particular, Evan Engram and Golden Tate. These are names this week, specifically the last few days, I've heard potential trade opportunity for the Giants. Are you hearing that? And do you think they'll be dealt before Tuesday?
You know, hearing more about Golden Tate than Evan Engram, I think there are teams who would love to add Evan Engram, but I think the Giants are not desperate to deal him. I know, obviously, the drop is in people's minds and should be, and he's been inconsistent. I think it's one of those things with Evan Engram where it's almost like he's more valuable to the Giants than he would be to somebody else. So they're going to be really hesitant to trade him for, you know, the sort of offers they're getting. But at the same time, I think that, you know, they're not willing to deal him for a mid-round pick. So going to be tough to make that work. Golden Tate, I think, makes more sense. Obviously, hasn't really worked out. You know, that's been a situation where I think they just have too many guys who want to play in the slot, and I think it might be a better offense altogether by getting rid of Golden Tate, moving on, and, you know, maybe putting Sterling Shepard back in the slot on a full-time basis. But Golden Tate's expensive. He hasn't been very productive. He's on the wrong side of 30. You know, obviously, I think a valuable player in the right place at the right time, but still a couple of years removed from being a really impactful receiver in Detroit. So I think, to me, you're looking at probably nothing more than a seventh-round pick for him. And, you know, maybe if you're Dave Gettleman, maybe you prefer to have him here to help Daniel Jones develop. But hard to see Golden Tate being part of the Giants' long-term future.
What about the Jets? Again, you know, this week, especially with Trevor Lawrence coming out and saying, you know, I might stay at Clemson. I don't know. You know, I not that I have any inside information, I really do believe that the Jets are dead set on acquiring Trevor Lawrence and what that might mean for Sam Darnold. Do you think there's any chance that the Jets trade Sam Darnold before Tuesday or at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance. I don't think it's a big chance, though, if I'm being realistic. I think it's very slim because you're sort of giving up on the season, which maybe they should. I think that's fair to say. But, you know, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable situation. And they've done that in the past. I mean, they traded up from 6 to 3, not knowing whether Darnold would be there with the third overall pick. If the Giants had chosen Jeff Sam Darnold, they would have been forced to take somebody else. But I do think that, you know, they're going to explore their options. I think at the very least it's worth having conversations about. But, you know, are you going to trade him for a fourth or fifth round pick? Of course not. And I think that there's just very few teams who are going to take the risk on Darnold and picking up his option for 2022. So to me, it's hard to see a middle ground where it makes sense. Maybe if someone gets hurt this weekend, you know, if a contender loses a starting quarterback and they're stuck, maybe a trade makes sense. But to me, I think it's not especially likely.
Other Jets players, and again, I'm just, you know, this is what I'm reading and I'm hearing in regard to Avery Williamson. Has he not been dealt yet? And if not, can you see him going to like the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? One of the biggest concerns I have going into this game tomorrow with the Pittsburgh Steelers is the loss of Devin Bush, and and they have some other injuries on that linebacking core. And if there's ever a position that you need a lot of talent at in order to contain Lamar Jackson, it's the linebacker position. That's why I think the Ravens win tomorrow, a big reason why. But anyway, what are some of the other Jets players that you think we can see being dealt before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think Avery Williamson, first and foremost, is the most obvious one. I mean, a guy who, you know, is in position to be dealt. He has about a $4 million salary. It's going to be prorated. A veteran, probably not going to be around next year. You would figure that makes logical sense. Would be one of the first guys out the door. So I wouldn't be shocked if he got traded. A lot of teams do need inside linebackers. The Steelers come to mind as maybe the most obvious fit. Bradley McDougal, the safety they got in the Jamal Adams trade, a free agent after the year, veteran player, very solid, but probably doesn't have a future with the organization. You would figure that if a team does need safety help, and there are teams out there who do need safety help, you would figure that McDougal might come to mind as an option there. You know, those are really the two biggest names. I mean, they could maybe take someone like Chris Herndon or Brashad Perriman or someone who's been disappointing and try to move on from one of those guys. Ryan Griffin, who has been sort of buried on the depth chart behind, you know, besides Herndon. But I think it's going to come down to basically the Jets being willing to make trades, because I think there's going to be interest in some of their players, but it might not be for more than a seventh round pick or a sixth round pick. And if you're a, you know, if you're Joe Douglas, if you're the Jets GM, do you want to trade guys who you think are valuable players just to get a six or a seven? That might not feel that good, but it might be the best thing for the Jets given, you know, where they are in the standings.
Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You can see his work all over ESPN. All right, what about, let's talk about what's going on with the Patriots for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I think they get their butts handed to them by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, come on, Jacoby Myers, mm-hmm. Bird, I just, and then, oh, Thursday we hear, you know, Stephon Gilmore tweaks his knee at practice and chances are he's not going to play this week. And oh, by the way, mm-hmm. his home has been placed up for sale in the mm-hmm. New England area. Wink, wink. Can we expect Gilmore to be gone for the Patriots by Tuesday?
I mean, it certainly seems plausible. You know, I think there's definitely conversations being had. He does have a big cap number, so that's the tough part, I think, is making it make sense. He's a free agent after next season, so he still has one more year left in his current deal. But I think, you know, he rightfully probably wants a new contract, and the Patriots are not in a position to give him a new deal. I think that they are, you know, probably going to move on from him, you know, either after this year or the year after. So I think they would like to get a good offer. I think they would – they're not going to deal him just to deal him and get him out for whatever the best possible offer is, if that's a low-round, you know, a low-round pick. But I do think they're hoping that someone offers them a first-round pick or a second-round pick or maybe even a quarterback, you know, they can develop. So it wouldn't shock me if they went out and traded Stephon Gilmore. I think it's still less likely than 50%, but I think it's closer to 50% maybe than you might think, given, you know, how entrenched he was in this organization before this year. But the reality is, I mean, this is a team that's in transition. You know, they are – Bill Belichick came out recently and said, you know, they have cap issues that have hurt their depth at positions, and I think that's fair to say. I mean, they're still paying for guys like Tom Brady and Antonio Brown on their cap, which is – you know, those guys are long gone. They're in Tampa now. And I think that they just, you know, if they turn things around and they make the playoffs, great. I think they'll be thrilled. But I do think that, you know, this is a team that realistically, after losing Tom Brady, was going to be in a position where they had to take a year or two and kind of, you know, retool and rebuild and then hopefully find a quarterback they can build around.
God, Bill, how much do you think that has to burn Belichick right now, that he's paying a portion of Tom Brady's salary while Tom is crushing it down there in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
and potentially could win another Super Bowl down there mm-hmm. in Tampa? I mean, that man, that's got to get in his craw, I tell you. Oh my goodness mm-hmm. gracious. Let's talk about some wide receivers. We know it's a pass happy NFL. AJ Green, Alshon mm-hmm. Jeffrey, Kenny Stills, Will Fuller. Let me go down the list. We talked about Golden Tate for a second. I mean, there are a number, Marvin Jones Jr., there are a number of wide receivers that I'm hearing potentially can move destinations. What are you looking at? AJ Green, like, what are you looking at that you feel most likely, the one move that most likely could happen and makes perfect sense to you?
I think Kenny Stills. I think that's the right mix of, you know, salary and ability. I think there's a lot of teams who can use a speedy receiver like Stills. Doesn't have much left on his contract. I think that's the one that makes sense. AJ Green is tough because I think AJ Green just is very expensive. He's on the franchise tag. I think it's about $17 million. Number one, that's going to eliminate a good chunk of teams because you just can't fit that salary on your roster for certain teams. And then on top of that, he's been inconsistent. Last 2 weeks, very solid. Before that, was not looking very good. So I think it's going to be very tough to get an A.J. Green deal done. John Ross, who's on that roster, former first-round pick, I think is more likely because he's on a much lower salary, much younger player. You know, I think that's a sort of spot where, you know, both sides would be ready to move on. I think the Texans receivers are all interesting. I mean, Brandon Cooks is there. Will Fuller is there. Randall Cobb is there. And Kenny Stills is there. And all those guys could be up for trade. Fuller, of course, at the end of his deal now, could be a rental if the Texans don't want to sign him to an extension. But I think that Stills comes to mind for me because he is sort of, you know, buried on the roster, does have speed, is talented, not as expensive as some of these other guys, and wouldn't cost much. It wouldn't shock me if the Texans traded Stills for a sixth or a seventh round pick. So, you know, for a team like the Packers, where you might want help next to Devontae Adams, I think that makes total sense.
Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Last but not least, in talking about potentially what could happen before the trade deadline, two quarterbacks come to mind, and one is Dwayne Haskins in Washington, and the other is Ryan Fitzpatrick, whose heart was torn out of him this week with the decision. I know. I mean, the video. So two folds, right? Like, one, the video of him saying, I wasn't expecting this decision. I got the call. My heart was ripped out of me. And then the follow-up with Tua talking to the media saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick is like a father to him. I mean, I understand what Tua was trying to say, you know, that he loves the guy. But, man, oh, talk about a slap in the face. Do you see Ryan Fitzpatrick or Dwayne Haskins being dealt before Tuesday, Bill?
I don't know. I mean, with Haskins, again, it's a question of, is Washington ready to give up? Because they can probably get a fourth or a fifth round pick for him. There will be teams who are interested. But if you drafted a guy in the first round in 2019, are you ready to give up on him after that happened? I mean, that's, you know, there are teams who would be willing to do that. We saw with Josh Rosen, the Cardinals were ready to make that trade. They got a two, but, you know, I think you sort of, he's not part of their future at this point from what we can see. Maybe he is, and we just don't realize it, but it certainly seems like he's on the outs there. So I think they have to be willing to accept they might not get a great offer, but if they do, then there are teams that are going to be interested. I think the Steelers make a ton of sense for Dwayne Haskins as a possible long-term replacement for Ben Roethlisberger, who's going to have time to develop there while the Steelers are competing for a Super Bowl. And the Steelers, of course, don't have much behind Roethlisberger now at all. And then with Fitzpatrick, you know, I think in a normal situation, I would say yes, they should trade Fitzpatrick because he's a free agent and he does want to play, and you can understand why he wants to play, and he might feel let down by what happened, and probably should. But number one, you have Tua Tagovailoa coming back from a serious injury, so you don't know if he's going to be healthy the rest of the way. You want him to start, certainly, but no guarantees that he's going to be able to start for the final 10 games of the year. And the Dolphins are 3-3. When the Dolphins are in the playoff hunt, you know, they have a very viable shot, especially in a 7-team playoff, which is what we have in the AFC now, of making it to the postseason. And if you're the Dolphins, and, you know, you have Josh Rosen as the backup behind, not Josh Rosen, of course they got rid of Josh Rosen, but, you know, if you don't have much behind Ryan Fitzpatrick when it comes to Tagovailoa, you probably want to have, you know, more depth around there at quarterback. So it wouldn't shock me. Reed Sinet is our number three, by the way. You know, it wouldn't shock me if they held on to Fitzpatrick and said, hey, you know, we might need you in this playoff hunt later in the season. Maybe if we go, you know, if we lose four of our next five, we're going to, you know, miss the playoffs. Maybe we'll cut you. We'll give you a chance to go play somewhere else. But, you know, we have a playoff shot, and you could be an important part of our playoff team if Tua, you know, isn't able to stay healthy. So I think absolutely the Dolphins, unless they're going to get blown away. Maybe they'll get blown away. Maybe someone will offer them a two, or, you know, maybe they'll get a really big offer for Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I don't think trading Fitzpatrick is right now in the Dolphins' best interest.
You know, here's the thing. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, that the NFC East division is a poop show. It's still up for grabs for anyone. And I'll take Ryan Fitzpatrick 7 days a week and twice on Sunday over Andy Dalton, with all due respect. So it's interesting to see what happens there. Before I let you go, obviously the biggest game tomorrow will be the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Bill, how do you see this? Give me your game script. How do you see this game play now?
I'm concerned. And I think we have different sides here, Anita. I'm very concerned about the Ravens' offensive line holding up against the Steelers' front seven. It's just been so good this year. And I think that, you know, I look at the numbers. Lamar Jackson, he has taken a step backwards this year, but his receivers have been a real problem, one of the highest drop rates in all football, and they're playing a really good secondary. You know, I don't know. I'm still kind of in the up in the air about the Steelers' offense. You know, I still think it's been really inconsistent. So it wouldn't surprise me, I should say, if it's a low-scoring game. But I just think the Steelers are a really bad matchup for the Ravens. You know, I just think the Ravens need a receiver. They need more help at receiver to kind of combat what happens when they're in third and long. And when they do need a possession receiver to kind of make plays, they have Marquise Brown, who's promising but isn't a consistent number one guy. They have Mark Andrews, who has had drop issues and maybe someone you don't want to play for as many snaps as they've been playing him for. You know, they really need another receiver. And I think that could come back to haunt them in this game. So, I mean, you never want to count out the Ravens. Obviously, a great defense. Wouldn't surprise me if they won the game, but I do think if I had to pick a side, I'd take the Steelers here.
Interesting. Little nice little bottle of wine, Bill? Maybe?
We can work that. Is this right with the spread or is it straight up?
You tell me. I mean, how confident are you in this matchup, Bill?
I'm not that confident.
How about this? How about this? I'll give you three. How about this? I'll give you the Pittsburgh Steelers. You take Pittsburgh Steelers plus three, because I think that's what I think. I think that very well could be what it might come down to. So how about?
Can't believe I'm getting hustled on the air on ESPN Radio. The 4.5-point line and Anita Marks, the gamma expert, only offering me three. I will take this off the air, Anita. We will have a conversation about this off the air.
All right. Bill, thank you so much. You know, I enjoy our time every Saturday afternoon with you. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
It's always great. Thanks, Anita. Have a good one.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.